Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. This is Gilbert Joy, your host. Join me as I interview world-class performers, seven and eight-figure entrepreneurs, digital nomads, and those living on their edge. Basically, living on your edge means you're constantly pushing your comfort zone, always striving for new heights. And that's exactly what we do at the Live Your Edge podcast. Today, we'll be speaking with Mayan Gordon. Mayan is a TikTok consultant and coach for social media marketing. She's also a TikTok star with over 1.7 million followers, as well as the CEO and founder of Monkey Boy Art. From a homeless individual to a homeowner, business owner, and more, Mayan has been able to turn her journey from a college dropout to an accomplished entrepreneur. And she's driven by her passion and curiosity to help those around the world improve their branding. Now, why TikTok in particular? Well, TikTok is an up-and-coming platform which Mayan believes is gonna be huge if it not already is. So this episode, we'll be talking about her journey with her hobby of glass blowing to turning it into a profession in which she's able to make a living, and how she's then able to transition online and become an influencer, speaker, writer, and more. So join me in welcoming Mayan Gordon. Hello everyone, welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. This is Gilbert Joy, your host. I'm here with Mayan Gordon, a TikTok expert, LinkedIn coach, digital marketing consulting with over 2.3 million followers on all our social media channels. Welcome to the show, Mayan.
Thank you so much for having me here today. I'm super excited.
So your story takes you back. Like, you have a very interesting story. So you said you were homeless before. Now you have a business and you're thriving and you're operating in the digital space and you got a huge following on TikTok. Tell us more. Like, how did your journey start, and what got you to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that it's always for me mostly been a personal journey, and so like figuring out what makes me happy and how that fits in to the person that I want to be, which is a really good person. And when I say really good person, that means something different, I think, to everyone else. But I think most of us all kind of strive to be an ideal version of ourselves that we can see in our head and kind of feel in our heart, but know that we aren't there quite there yet. So it started out for me with that. And I would say I really got into that journey in college when I had this separation from my parents, because I think, you know, my parents had a very strong effect on how I thought all throughout, you know, middle school and high school. I really only thought kind of the way that my parents directed. And once I was in college, really had the freedom to explore what do I want? How do I get it? Who am I? And that led me kind of down a series of different paths, from copywriting and doing freelance writing full time to starting up my own smoking accessories based business, and then going into graphic design and sticker printing. And then from there, transitioning into glass blowing. And then now I'm mostly kind of focused on digital marketing consultancy and coaching. And then also just really being able to deliver value to the people in the spaces or industries that I'm interested to be in, because I think that that's a really wonderful way to build your brand, build your reputation, and long-term get business is to, if you're new in an industry, just start by providing massive amounts of value and try and make a name for yourself. So that's been kind of my journey.
Awesome. How do you get started with social media particularly? Because a lot of us listening are probably interested in building our personal brands online. And you mentioned you were a digital coach. So tell us more.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I got into social media for the same reason that probably many people do, which is I wanted to be able to make money online and travel and kind of have the freedom to go wherever I wanted and do whatever I wanted. And I knew that social media was a place where you could you know, be where you could do that, where you could build an audience and, you know, market to them in a way or build a brand around that audience that you could leverage to, you know, create that type of lifestyle. So I got into social media with, I would say, Facebook initially, because I, you know, had a Facebook account already and thought, oh, you know, I could start a business page and see how that goes. Now, I never really did much with Facebook, but that was, you know, my first dipping of the toes. And I loved connecting with people. I've always loved being able to connect with people online, because when I grew up, I didn't have a lot of friends. I shifted around schools a couple times and was just didn't have the skill set back then to really develop friendships quickly. And so being able to make friends online was this really awesome thing that I was better at. And I think that a lot of us can relate to the fact that sometimes we're braver online communicating than we are in person, especially if we're shy by nature. And I was definitely not necessarily shy by nature, but very, very shy and worried about interacting with people because I knew I wasn't good at it. And I was, you know, had that kind of fear mindset around people. So I loved the interaction part. And then I jumped onto Instagram when I started my smoking accessory business. We created a product called Diffuser Beads. And we basically bought Airsoft BBs that were a bunch of different pretty colors, put them into different jar sizes, put a fancy label on it, and sold it to stoners and smoke shops for them to put into their glass bongs. And so, you know, very, very niche product, completely new, like it didn't exist before we made it up. So we really had to figure out how to get people to buy it. It wasn't something where we were making a product people already had a need for. We had to convince them that they had a need for it. And so this was a really wonderful way for me to start out with a digital marketing challenge of how do I get people to buy this product they've never heard of? And Instagram was an instrumental tool for us being able to sell both on a direct to customer level and on a wholesale B2B level. And so that's where I kind of fell in love with it and just really dove into learning as much as I could about it. You know, listening to podcasts, doing research online, applying the knowledge, testing out different things with my customers. And I've just kind of always been in that space ever since.
Nice. And where did TikTok come about for you? Because you got your biggest following through that.
Absolutely. By far my biggest following. You know, more than 90% of those followers are from TikTok. Although I would say in terms of the opportunities I've gotten, the majority of the opportunities have actually come from my LinkedIn following. So that's an interesting dynamic there. In terms of how I got into TikTok, I've only been on the platform for 8 or 9 months now. I got in late August of 2019, and it's been just a really exciting, fast-paced, high momentum experience. I got my first viral video 2 weeks onto the platform. And from there through the next month had, I believe it was like 10 more viral videos that all did more than 1 million views each and had several of them that did more than 10 million views. And Whoa. So built this huge following very, very quickly, understood how exciting and cool that was to other business people, especially and uniquely with the fact that I'm a business owner and not an influencer first. And so I jumped onto LinkedIn as soon as I started having this kind of massive success, started talking about it, telling everyone all my insights, and really finding an amazing community on LinkedIn.
So you mentioned that you got most of your business through LinkedIn. And I will go back to TikTok in a moment. Why was that in particular? Is it because of the nature of the platform, or is it because people were interested in knowing how you're able to create such a huge following in such a short time? And
so that's, I'd say it's more the nature of me and what I'm putting my focus and energy into. So I spend, you know, I would say 70% of my time on LinkedIn. Now, if I spent that 70%, if I flipped it and spent 70% of my time on TikTok, then I would certainly make more money directly from TikTok. And not to say I do actually make a fair amount of money from TikTok. I might make more money from TikTok, but I value LinkedIn much more because of the opportunity fees that are going to pay off. I mean, they haven't converted into money yet in my bank account, but they most certainly will at a larger scale than what I'm doing currently on TikTok. But again, that's really just because I'm very interested in business people. I love business. I love people. And LinkedIn gives me a platform that allows me more direct one-on-one communications. TikTok really limits your ability to connect one-on-one right now because it's such an early platform. What they're focused on is helping people achieve this massive growth because most people are more motivated by numbers than they are interactions, unfortunately. I'm not necessarily that way, which is why I spend most of my time on LinkedIn because I get to talk one-on-one with people. I get to have like really meaningful interactions. And on TikTok, it's more, you know, I post a video and it gets seen by a bunch of people, but I can't direct message most of those people because on TikTok, you have to be following the person you want to message and they have to also be following you. Otherwise, neither of you can message each other.
Definitely. One of the things I notice is on LinkedIn, there are people that are building their brands. They have a whole ton of followers, but it seems like they're not really able to monetize that brand. So what's the key differentiators from being able to monetize your LinkedIn, no matter how many followers you have, and not being able to monetize it?
That's a great question. And I really think the answer to that on all platforms and at all business levels is having the right product at the right price. So it doesn't matter how many followers you have. If you have the product or service that they want and it's priced correctly, you will sell a bunch of it or them. So I think it's, you know, engage with your audience to really figure out what that is. And also be okay if the first couple tries of you trying to put together this kind of perfect offer or this ideal offer for your customers doesn't get well received. I've been through so many situations where, especially in my glass blowing business, where I try out one deal that I think is amazing, no biters. You know, another deal that I think is amazing, no biters. Next deal, now I'm kind of picking more at straws. The third deal is the one everyone wants to buy. So a lot of times it's just that we have a hard time as the owner or the marketer or the person working from the other side, really having the perspective of our customer. We definitely try, but sometimes, and I think a lot of the times we miss the mark because we're just not in their position. And to get the feedback from your customers of what they actually want and what they don't want, I think is very important and not something to get discouraged by. It's just part of the process.
So for those that are trying to position their products and of course their price in front of their customer in a way, you know, which attracts them, especially on LinkedIn, how would you put it in front? Like, how would you position in front of them? Is it through like the direct messages that you do with your audience, or is it, you know, for instance, you have links in your profile or any of these the media things that you upload onto?
Great question. Yeah. So it's a combination of things and it also depends on your tactics. So for me, the ideal ways for me to get customers is for them to see something that I wrote or posted and be so compelled that they're messaging me with the intent to already use my services. That's ideal. Mm-hmm. So that's based on writing and figuring out how to write like really valuable and compelling content. So I think that a lot of people, and there's a lot of talk about writing valuable content, and there's definitely a difference between writing content that's just valuable and also valuable and compelling, meaning the person got the value and wants more or wants more contact with you. And I can't really at this point put my finger on what that is. I haven't spent necessarily enough time thinking about that, but I think certainly it's something for people to pay attention to and that you could notice, you know, and kind of tweak based on your results from your own posts. So that's the ideal scenario. If your writing isn't that compelling or your content isn't as compelling, then I would definitely have an engagement style, let's say funnel, where you're creating content that creates comment engagement, you're responding to those comments, and then also having, let's say, a series of messages that you personalize and tweak to follow up with them and, you know, kind of drive them further down your funnel. So again, that does require writing, because always your communication is going to be super important. If you can't communicate in a way that makes someone like you and think that you're going to help them, then they're just not going to want to do business with you. So I always really encourage people to pay more attention to, you know, the way that they're communicating and the responses they're getting based off that communication, and being really honest in every interaction. Like, this is definitely something actionable you can do. Take a journal and every night or after every meeting, write down a couple notes from that meeting about how it went. So when you take a phone call or like when you do a podcast interview, afterwards, you know, you write down the date and the time and, you know, a short little note that summarizes who you spoke to or what it was about. And then you write down, you know, felt like a really great conversation. I had the right amount of energy. The other person got really excited and wanted to do more business with me. Or you write down, you know, my energy was good, but they seemed really not that happy on the phone call. Need to figure out how to get them as excited as I feel. And you just start writing down these notes, and your brain over time from doing this type of analysis will start getting better and better at communication. Even if you have no other resources to learn from, just this actual reflection process will help you get better. So I'd say that that's one way people can, you know, start.
Yeah, that's a very good advice, because learning to write, I guess, is very therapeutic. And for me, I used to hate writing. I was a terrible writer and growing up, and in my SATs, for those that don't know the standardized test in the US, I got a 400 something on my writing out of 800, which
not too good,
right? Yeah. So I thought, you know what, writing is not for me. And then eventually when I got into digital space, I started doing copywriting as well. And I start to like the process, because I feel that it's really helpful for getting your thoughts onto paper and simplifying it. Because I used to write on these really long run-on sentences, and it would not really get the point across, and it would confuse people.
And I relate to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
On LinkedIn, I see that the most engagement that I see on LinkedIn usually comes from people that communicate their point well and succinctly, and don't have these long sentences. And it always somewhat follows this pattern of, you know, double spacing and having a action and all of that stuff. And at the same time, you see other, maybe not influencers, but people that are really senior in the business world, they're putting out content too, but for some reason, their content is not resonating as much with their audience. Maybe they're writing in the, you know, a lot more longer sentences, or they're communicating a lot of stuff, which is valuable, right? Like you said, it's valuable, but it's not compelling to the point where someone wants to take action after reading that status update. And you did bring up a point. It's like, it's actually something very hard to pinpoint. How would you actually go about figuring that out?
I think it's also especially because we all have naturally different communication styles, even to the point of how our voices sound, right? Like, I have an accent that's different than your accent, and learning to understand in the moment how people are responding to you via your voice and how it's, or the words you're using. Like, I think a lot of people have experienced before, I've definitely experienced this, where I'm around a group of people who speaks a little bit different than I normally speak, and I will naturally kind of adopt some of their speaking style to fit in with them, to, you know, create kind of a bond and sense of community, because people like to communicate in the language that they speak. And it makes sometimes people feel uncomfortable when people have, like, you know, a completely different style of speaking. It just creates this uncomfortability. And to be able to adapt your speaking style, I think, is a really useful tool. But it comes, I really think, from practice, because it's very difficult and different with every person. Like, people receive information differently, just like we give information differently. So it's definitely something to realize that it's just a helpful tool, and it's not something you have to be good or bad at. it's just something that can help you. And if you're interested to, you know, put effort into it, then you'll get benefit out of it.
So the core driver of really sales and business, whether it's on LinkedIn or any channel that has potentially writing, or even if it's video, of course, video is very different. But let's say like it's LinkedIn, USA writing is probably the main driver of business for you, or?
Yeah, if I had to pick like one element that's been the main driving force, I would have to say it's been my writing. Now, again, I think video's been a really, like, it's hard to say just writing without the video component. But I think that any business or any person can start from absolute zero and build momentum and build a really strong following through writing. So it's not something you have to be really good at, but if you are good at it, it will serve you endlessly.
And then one of the ways you mentioned is to document all of your meetings and all your conversations as a way to better communicate what you're, you know, the process and what you learn from an interaction and possibly get into more deeper on how you're actually thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Even to the point where, you know, I think a lot of us start out when we have conversations and we're just in the moment, in the conversation, in our emotions. And it helps sometimes to have some little part of your brain that is also observing yourself at the same time as you're interacting. And if you're able to do that, then you can pick out words that you use and the effects that they're having. So not all the words in a sentence, but there will be times when you're having a conversation and you notice that right after you say a specific word, there was a specific emotional response. Either from the other person or internally, that when you said that, you were like, ooh, that didn't sound or feel quite what I meant for it to feel or sound like. Or you'll feel like, oh man, that came out perfect. Now things are really going well in this conversation. And so paying attention to those words, I think, is something that really helps translate in writing. So when I say something really well in a conversation, because I'm paying attention to it, or, you know, again, if you're writing it down after the fact, then you're very likely to use that same phrase or word in your writing as well and have the same positive effects.
So really it's like creating this bank, different words that you can use. And after understanding like what emotions they communicate when you use them, both in yourself and in others, then you can basically piece together a narrative where it's compelling, like you said, and it's also informative to deliver value to them. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it starts with, you know, noticing particular words, and then it moves on to you figuring out how to piece all those words that you really love to use together. And then you've kind of, what you've done is created almost like a tone for your brand, or a voice for your brand, that is something that is more easily identifiable and also scalable. So I think that one thing that a lot of businesses struggle with is when they're trying to scale and hiring people is, well, I've been writing all the content myself. And if I have someone else start writing it, I still want it to sound like me. So figuring out what sounding like me means to you, I think is really important for you to think about as a business, or even as a component within a business. Like, what is the voice that you're adding? Because that voice is very powerful.
Wow. I never thought of it that way. Like, to start with, like the whole idea was, before we were talking about how to monetize our social media, how to build our brands. And I never thought of like to start with the voice and how you wanted to sound, because eventually you might have to have someone to help write content and you need to be able to transfer that.
Yeah. You know, it's not something I started thinking out either, but it's definitely something I've been thinking more about as I'm to that point where, like, I would love to have a writer or two helping me so I could produce even more content. But I want that voice or that sound to be really, you know, across the board the same. I don't want it to vary or sound weird like someone else is writing for me. And I also don't want to have to spend all of my days, all day, every day writing, right? So I think that there's these issues that a lot of businesses and a lot of people are going to share together. And, you know, creating the solutions is something that we can all help each other with. So I'm just sharing a couple things that I've learned, but I'm very much in the process of it. I'm not an expert at, you know, what I'm talking about right now. I'm just kind of sharing the things I've observed and the things that I've learned along the way.
Yeah. Awesome. When it comes to LinkedIn, because since we're on topic of LinkedIn, other than like you said, first, find your voice, find out the words you use, document the process. What else can someone that's, you know, in the growing their LinkedIn brand, you know, they've been doing it for maybe 6 months, a year, even more. How can they sort of accelerate that process?
Yeah. So one way to do it is to spend a significant amount of time engaging on other people's posts in a meaningful way. So not, you know, like heart emoji, but like really taking the time to read their post and leaving a comment that if other people were to read your comment, they would think, oh, that's pretty smart, or that's insightful or clever or kind or whatever it is you're trying to get across. But that when they read your comment, they're compelled to follow you or interact with you or reach out a connection request. And the way that LinkedIn works is when you comment on a post, if someone follows you, it puts up that post on their feed and it'll put your comment right at the top. So it visually gets you a lot more exposure. And I think that in the beginning, I talked about this with someone else recently. So LinkedIn is very much like a busy, let's say, New York street. I've never been to New York, but I hear it's very busy. So there's people walking, you know, down the street, hundreds of them. And you're not going to say hi to anyone that you don't already recognize and consider a friend. But when you see someone in this giant crowd of people and you recognize them, you feel really happy and excited and you say hi to them. So that's how LinkedIn is with posts you see on your feed. The posts are like people. And if you don't recognize the people, most of the time you're not even going to probably read their post or take the time to read their post. You're going to skip, walk right by them. But if you recognize the name, you're like, oh, hey, how's it going, Joe? I see you today. Let me read what's up with you today. It's like a good morning. How's it going? You read their post and then you respond. And so I think that this is one of the best ways to really gain momentum on LinkedIn is to start making friends and building relationships where people, when they see you in the street, so see you, you know, see your content on their feed, so to speak, that they get excited and want to say hi to you and interact with you. Because that's, you know, people have to like you and be excited before they're going to do business with you. There's just too many options that we all know we have access to for you to just have the solution to my problem. Like if you don't also make me happy or excited, like I don't care that you have the solution. I'll go find someone else with the solution who I do like better. And I think most of us operate this way. So it's really important to understand that this human connection factor is more important in business than it's ever been before.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. When it comes to those that are reaching out to or commenting on posts, it does, like for you, does it matter like what industry or what field they're in? Or do you
That's
focus
a great question.
Or more on those people that are, you know, potential customers? Because there's a chance that there's a lot of people that are on LinkedIn, they're engaging with a lot of posts, or they're the ones putting out content, but they might not necessarily be your customer. But do you spend a lot of time just commenting on people's posts that you feel like, you know, that have added value to you, yet it might not be the other way around? Or how do you see that?
Yeah, so I do it two different ways. So one is either I'll comment on people's posts who I like really liked the value in the post. So things I'm looking to learn, learn about. So most of the comments that I do will be from hashtag searches through LinkedIn. Sometimes it's off my feed, but in general, I don't get the information I really want to see on my feed versus if I'm looking and searching for it. So like if I'm looking for TikTok posts, I'll search hashtag TikTok and then I'll comment on the posts that that I liked or that I thought were valuable. The other way is to just comment and engage with people that you find interesting. And it absolutely doesn't matter what field that you're in, because again, it's going to build up momentum for you to draw in the people that you are trying to target. And I think that if you are only focused on sales with your communication process, that you will absolutely get burnt out. Even when it's working, you'll still get burnt out. And I've experienced this with my glass blowing business, that even when I was making, let's say, $10,000 extra a month, that I didn't feel like I could go all day long the way I can do it now and still be like really happy and feel like I had an amazing day, because it just wasn't fulfilling to only focus on sales. And to not spend a significant amount of my time trying to achieve my goals around my why. So why am I in glassblowing? Yes, to make money, but the real why is because glassblowing and glass pieces have a really powerful impact on people's emotional state. So I've had so many endless experiences and customers who have told me that the glass piece we made for them and the way we connected with them through the glass piece, you know, changed their entire week or helped them get through like a really hard experience. And that to me is my why. How do I impact people and make their lives better? So if think about what your why is for your business and engage based off of that, and sales will come. Like, I truly believe the less you focus on sales, the more sales you're going to get, as long as you are smart about it. Like, obviously you can't just ignore money completely, but I think if your strategy is truly based on building relationships and providing value, that money is going to come and you really don't have to focus as much on it.
That's great advice. I think that, you know, on LinkedIn, there's a lot of people that are DMing each other, right? Like, I get messages all the time. People just throw a pitch out there and I just have no interest in answering them at all, because they haven't taken the time to look at my profile. They haven't taken the time to really learn about me. And they just really want, this thing I always tell my clients is like, when they're trying to go fast, they're actually slowing down the whole process by doing that. And sometimes when you're going slow, you actually go fast.
Yeah.
So that's how I see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say, you know, like I'm a pretty good example of that. In where I don't reach out generally to other people for them to buy something. Now, I always do test out that model. I'd say about once a month, I'll come up with an email pitch, because I'm fascinated in that psyche and I know that it works, and I'm very curious to figure out a way where you can direct sale and at the same time provide immense value in like a different way that maybe I haven't discovered yet. So I like to experiment. I still do that, but mainly I take phone calls with people. Like, that's how I get business, is I post content and I let people access me through scheduling phone calls at their convenience. I don't ask them in general, you know, what the phone call is about. I do a little bit of qualifying. What I'll do is I'll look at their profile. If they have like nothing to do with anything that I'm doing, then I'll ask them a question or two. Like, I'll be like, you know, do you mind me asking what this phone call is going to be about so that I'm prepared for it? And usually it's still related to what I'm doing. Even if they are like a financial advisor, they're like, actually, I have a bunch of clients that I'm interested in possibly referring to you. So I think if you put out good content, you'll get contacted by the right people. And then it's, again, you don't have to waste your time messaging people who have zero interest in doing business with you. You don't have to waste your time trying to figure out tactics that are only going to last a certain amount of time, whereas building a reputation will last you your entire life. A tactic or a hack is only ever, even a platform, even figuring out how to monetize through a social media, is only going to last a certain amount of time. And then you're going to have to figure out something else. So really building relationships that builds your brand and your reputation, I think, is the most valuable thing you can do.
Yeah, definitely. Principles and strategy over tactics and techniques, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Awesome. In conclusion, like, for those that are, you know, trying to monetize their their personal brand, even if it's off LinkedIn? You know, what advice would you give them? I mean, you also dip into you know, things like see, you have like funnels, and you also mentioned email marketing and other elements. Like, which one do you feel is still really consistent in bringing in revenue, particularly for you? And regardless of where people are starting, like where do you see people can get the most value of if they had to spend their time on one thing when it comes to monetization?
Yeah, great question. It is harder and harder, I would say, as you know, time is moving forward, because it's getting more and more competitive online. 10 years ago, it was probably easier for me than to create a product from scratch like diffuser beads than it would be now. But because I have that experience, I really think that's always going to be a viable option for anyone starting out if you find your micro communities. So instead of thinking, what's the platform that gives me the biggest reach possible, think, what's something I can make or sell? Like, what's a low entry cost level product, and where is a high concentration of people who want that product? So for example, like, if you are someone who, you've got dogs and you love dogs, and right now you have to be at home for, let's say, 4 weeks, who knows how long, and you have a bunch of material, like fabrics and things, and you want to try your hand at starting some type of like dog bandana business, let's say, that you could find some communities or some platforms that were very specific to dog owners that no one's engaging with in a brand level. No brands are on that platform, like communicating and building relationships with people. And you could step in and probably crush it very, very quickly from zero, like with no paid advertising, just you showing up and saying, hey, I'm a real person. I've got these awesome dogs. I love my dogs. I created these great bandanas. What do you guys think about them? And if people like them, they'll immediately go, those are awesome. Where did you buy them? I want to buy them. And so I think that's a really great way, is to just introduce yourself into a micro community that is full of your target customer.
Mm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, going niching down. I think niching down is really like identifying the angle, because if you are selling something very general, it's very difficult to appeal to enough people, because you know there's a lot of people selling the same stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, and also pricing.
Yeah, even just having a product that's unique, like that alone will get you sales, because people are curious and we're addicted to new things. So when we see something new, we're inherently, we want it, even when we know we don't need it. Like when I see, and I don't have a TV anymore, but when I used to watch TV, and I would see the, you know, infomercials or like the products that are as seen on TV products that are always like $10.99 and you buy, buy now and you get three of them, that I always want to buy those. Like, I never need the thing, but I'm like, that is so cool. And they show the demo of how it works. I'm like, that's new and I've never seen it before. I want one. So I think that figuring out your unique value proposition, whether that's service related or whether that's, you know, your product has an extra feature, that alone will help get you sales, because you can talk about that. And you don't have to say buy this, you can just talk about that cool feature or that extra service that you're providing.
Definitely. I mean, that's already a good lesson for those that are really trying to build up their communities and their followings and monetize and build products that people actually want, and testing it.
Absolutely.
For those that want to follow you, I'm sure I'll leave all your links in the show notes. And what do you have any, like, if people want to really like work with you, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. LinkedIn is really a great place to connect with me. I'm sure the link will be there, but you can also search my name, because it's very unique. It's MAAYAN, and last name is Gordon, GORDON. You can also just send me an email directly. My email is monkey, boyarts with an S at gmail.com. Or you can, you know, DM me on Instagram, which is at monkeyboyart. And monkeyboyart, if you don't know, that's the name of my glass blowing business. So that's why that's a little fun craziness there.
Why is it called Monkey Boy, by the way?
So because we had to come up with a glass blower name. All the glass blowers, they pick like a cool name, like how wrestlers have a name. And so we were like, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? And my husband used to be called Monkey Boy. That was like his nickname growing up. And I inherently knew that monkey was a very good keyword to have in our name, because as human beings, we just like, we have this fascination with monkeys, and it's something we always remember. And it, no one else had the name yet. So there were already a bunch of artists that had taken a bunch of cool names that we wanted. And so that's how we landed on it.
Oh, monkeys. Yeah, I grew up in the year of the monkeys, so I understand.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, monkeys.
Yeah, monkeys are super cool. They're awesome.
Yeah. Well, it was great having you on the show, Maya. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much.
And those listening, hope you got a lot of value out of it. Feel free to follow Maya on all her channels. And if you're interested, reach out to her and you know, ask her your questions, and if they're keen, you can feel free to work with her. So thank you all for joining us on the show, and that just about wraps it up for us. Thank you for coming
on the show.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.